Acknowledge me!
Hello and welcome back to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. And you're joining us today for the next episode in the Squared Circle series, where we focus on WWE. Joining me today from the Creative Control team, we have Neil and Ryan. And joining us again from that Superhero Thing podcast. And to be honest, let's be honest, the new member of the Creative Control team, Nick. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. Doing good. Mate.
Yeah, good.
I think this is going to be more of a regular thing, right? So, Ron, being your weekly guest, I think you're just part of the crew now. That's how we're going
to
roll.
Someone's, like I said last week, people to talk wrestling with. I'm here every week. I'm just going to sit here every night on StreamYard waiting for you all to show up. That's fine.
Awesome. Well, no, it's great to have you back. Right. So, yeah, this is the Squared Circle. So we are talking WWE. And if you checked out our last episode, we did the Road to WrestleMania, kind of how we saw the matches and everything, the cards being built up to the biggest night of the year in wrestling. But now we're going to be a little bit more focused. So today we're doing fantasy booking WrestleMania, but tonight we're concentrating simply on night one. So we are taking the existing matches that are already there, where we would slot them in. So if we think they're going to be in that night one, and then we're going to try and fill the card out with some other matches that we would like to see happen. But, you know, we're going to be going off piece a little bit because, you know, there's obviously injuries to certain superstars. We could say, yeah, actually, I would have had them fighting for this title or this feud ongoing. So we can kind of feed that in and, you know, talk about what ideally we'd have liked to see. But we're not doing predictions. But that's going to be a separate episode. So tonight is literally how we'd book it, what outcomes we would want. So if we were in creative control, how we would book WrestleMania. All right. But as always, thank you very much for watching and listening. We appreciate you. You can check the video version of this podcast out on YouTube and Spotify. And you can get the audio version available on any podcast platform. We are everywhere. Apple, Google, Audible, you name it, we are there. So thanks very much for being here. We appreciate you. So, gentlemen, we're getting excited for WrestleMania. It's building, right? So we've had The Rock.
Yeah, Rock on Friday.
And Rock on Friday on SmackDown, and we've had Cody on Monday. Okay, first of all, what I just got to say is Rock, the Hollywood theme on Friday, chills.
Yeah,
that was amazing. That was a moment. That was awesome. The new entrance, the music switching up, Hollywood rock music coming on. That was fantastic. What did you guys think of Rock's support appearance on Friday SmackDown?
As a texture on the day, like, he might as well have leant into the camera and gone, "That's for you, Ryan." Like, it was, as soon as that music came in and the lightning, I was, oh, I'm so glad he's back. I was so annoyed a few weeks ago with the Cody stuff.
Yes, like, right.
He fully won me over. Yeah.
But it's heel Rock, but he almost seemed face that night, right? The crowd were really behind him, and they were singing along with the songs, loving everything that he did. I mean, I think he was on for like 15, 20 minutes or something, wasn't he?
Like 20 minutes.
Yeah, he was on for a large portion of the show, but they ate it up. And I know a lot of the promo was similar to what he posted on, it was either Instagram or Twitter earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. It was just minus a lot of the cussing. And apparently there's like rumblings backstage, but I'm just like, this feels more like the Attitude Era, right? You know, it's just like you've got that coming in, the aggression, it seems really personal. When at the end he just said what he's going to say to Mama Rhodes, it's like, "Can I say except you're welcome?" That was dark. I've never heard the song sung that way before. So that was awesome. And then Cody Rhodes on Monday, right? So he cut a fairly decent promo on Monday, again, getting a little bit more aggressive. What do you guys
that
think
felt dark as well. It feels like the lines now are completely blurred. It's like you've got, a week ago even, it was Rock was just pure heel and Cody was pure face. And you've kind of like, they have merged, they've blurred Rock. And again, it's because of how much the crowd were absolutely loving him. But again, they just felt like a really dark, edgier version of Cody this week. And I liked it. See, as soon as he came out in that full black suit, black tie, black shirt, you just knew.
I mentioned that.
This is him starting to get a little bit more edgy. And I never watched him in AEW, but I believe he was a bit of a heel in AEW. But I'm ready for heel Cody Rhodes now. I know he's not won the championship yet, but I feel like I'm there and he's on the brink. Looking forward. It's got to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah. Finish the story and then turns, right?
Yes.
It's got to be.
Do that. That's fine.
Yeah. Neil, thoughts? Rock, Cody?
Do you know what? It's, I'm very much loving it, but I think it's like, I'm afraid of a Cody heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, eventually, at some point, he needs to turn heel.
Yeah.
But I
just think it's going to be too soon.
Yeah, I need it to be like a similar to a Kofi situation. He's face, he wins the title, he's face for a little while. Mm-hmm. Even if the end of the title run, even if like, say he's champion 6 months, even if you say 4 months in, he turns heel, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But I need Cody Rhodes to be face. I need at least the first couple of title defenses face Cody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it might be like a Hogan Rock situation where the crowd are dictating who's face and who's heel.
Yes.
And they're just going with it.
Agreed. Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. Because I rewatched that match last week, actually. And the roles changed during the match.
Yeah, like it was like almost immediately.
Mm. Yeah, that was incredible. Okay, and then what? Any predictions for this Friday SmackDown? Because Paul Heyman's invited him down to see.
On his own.
It's just going to be him and Roman, apparently. No bloodline. So what do we think? I can't remember. Did he say it was going to be a contract signing or is it just a face-to-face?
No, it's just a face-to-face.
It's face-to-face, yeah.
I think he honors it, actually. Like, mm-hmm. I potentially Seth just runs in anyway and ruins it. Like, I think Roman honors it. And then Seth is getting too carried away with it, and maybe that's what cost them night one. Because you kind of get that with everything Drew McIntyre is saying. It's like, leave them.
I feel it will go a different way.
Yeah.
I feel that they'll have the one-on-one and then somebody will say something they shouldn't, probably Roman. I think Cody might be the first to throw hands and they'll have a little scuffle. And I think Cody will end up on top.
Okay.
Right.
I think it will end with Roman like on his backside.
Right.
Simply because in my head at least, it threads the "you can't do this by yourself" storyline.
Yeah. Okay.
So it furthers more events. Yeah. But it's sort of like, if it's always just like, you know, if it's the thing of you're evenly matched, it's just who's better on the day. Then it's like, okay, I can live with that. But it's like, oh, well, going into WrestleMania, the person who... Cody's never going to win a war of words against The Rock. He's never going to win a war of words against Paul Heyman. He could probably win a war of words against Roman. However, I don't think he can against this Roman. Because this Roman isn't the... This isn't suffering succotash Roman. This is...
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why you're not great. I'm going to bring up your family. I'm going to bring up everything that all your failures.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I think Cody's, this the whole black suit Cody is like a man who's had enough.
Yeah. And that probably would then feed into, because I think The Rock is then going to be on Monday Night Raw the following week, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Punk. Punk there,
yeah,
Punk as well, yeah. So full house.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's talk WrestleMania 40. We are talking night one. We are doing our fancy booking. So the idea of what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the matches that we have in our match card. So, for instance, I'll start with my match one. Then if anybody else has thoughts or feedback, and if they had a similar match, they could let me know where they have it in their card. And and if they want to go into detail when they get to it, they can, or they can jump on when I do it. So have a little bit of a free-for-all. But WrestleMania 40, night one. So I've tried to go... I didn't know whether I wanted to do this on a pre-show, but I'm not a believer in the pre-show as it goes. Mm-hmm. So if I had control, I wouldn't have a match on the pre-show. Just have people talking about it, showing video, talking about the narrative and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't have a match. So I would kind of start it with a bang and just go with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Yeah, I think that's an easy way to start. Get all the talent that hasn't have an opportunity on the card elsewhere into this match, And for me, with the matches as they already are booked, because again, if it was down to the Intercontinental title, I would have probably had a different booking for that. But as it is, I would have Chad Gable winning the Memorial Battle Royal, because I think that kind of, and I would use it more as a platform to push forward for his next challenge, whatever title that might be. So whoever the winner is of the Intercontinental title, he would then get the next match because he won that battle royal. So that's kind of how I'd push that narrative, because I think he deserves his moment. If I could, I'd probably throw him in at the moment, do a triple threat to the Intercontinental, spice up a little bit. But after Raw, when I saw Sami Zayn and Gunther kind of face off, I was like, yeah, okay, I like this. And I like the narrative that they picked up with Sami, in the sense that he said that, you know, I ended the longest ever tag team title reign at WrestleMania last year. Now I'm going to end the longest ever Intercontinental title this year. I was like, okay, I like that kind of aspect of it. So, you know, leaving that alone, that's how I'd kind of open match one. Has anybody else got a battle royal?
That is literally my opening bout.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Right.
Did you have a winner picked?
Yeah, Chad Gable.
Oh, okay.
Literally, the same thing is Chad Gable. All right. Andre the Giant. And I was like, oh, cool. And that was just when you said it, I was like, jeez.
All right. We've been
hanging out. I was like, oh, yeah, he'll say Andre. Because when you said no pre-show, I was like, he's picked Andre.
Yeah.
And then I was just thinking to myself, okay, all right, well, if he's picked Andre, but who can he pick? Who's going to be a winner? I was like, he's not going to pick Gable.
Yeah, we've been hanging out together too long.
Funnily enough, I think that will happen too. But my heart of hearts wants that big beefy man battle royale.
Oh, yeah. Big beefy man battle royale.
Oh, yeah.
The one that Bronson was talking about. Mm-hmm. And if that was happening, I'd want a returning Braun, so Braun Strowman, Odyssey Jones, Bronson, Otis, Brock Lesnar, Bron Breakker, with Big E as a guest ref.
Oh, wow. I don't know if the ring could support it. that's a lot of meat in the ring.
It won't happen. The Andre thing will happen. Like, you're right. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, my heart wants the big beefy men.
Big beefy men. All right. Ryan, what's your number? What would be your first match on the card?
I wouldn't have a first match opening segment. I would have a 40 years of WrestleMania celebration. They did it at WrestleMania 30 with The Rock, Hogan, and Austin. And I think they're going to have something similar. Austin's been getting in ring shape. They teased a Hogan return at the Royal Rumble. So my bet is that they have an impromptu tag match with Hogan and Austin versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Theory. Okay.
I like that.
Interesting.
Really good.
Yeah, I've got something similar planned later on. But I like what you're thinking because of how they might open it. That is a good show.
My only critique would be, if I remember correctly, was it not either last year or 2 years ago, that Austin stunned Austin Theory?
Yeah, he did. He had the match with KO.
It was 2 years ago, so it was when Theory was being backed up by Vince.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with all this,
yeah, that's right.
In the match that Pat McAfee had with Vince,
yes,
yeah.
So that's the only reason why I'm like, I don't know if that will happen again.
Maybe, but I'd imagine a lot of people have forgotten about it, like I did. I think Austin and Hogan at WrestleMania 40, they've not been in the ring often. They've definitely never been in the tag match in WWE.
Yeah, so because I thought of them potentially being in the six-pack challenge, but I was like, I don't think it's right for them now. I could see them potentially becoming a bit of a tag team, but yeah, I've got plans for those two later on because I don't like either of them. So something will happen to them, and I'll go into that. But that's on night two. I've saved that.
Okay.
Right, Nick, what's your first match?
I'm going really boring. I haven't come up with one of these amazing fantasy matches as you guys have. I thought it was going to be the Usos. I just thought opening.
Okay, yeah.
I think kicking it off with I think it's a big match, but it's not a big match at the same time. So I don't think it'd take away having it open in the show. But that's, I don't know why, that's just what's in my head as as the kickoff, because I don't think, I mean, I've been, like I said last week, I've sort of been out of watching WWE for a little while, up until about 9 months ago. So the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is not something I've sort of seen. I've, you know, seen snippets of it, but I don't know if that is, like, you know, standard opening to the show. But yeah, I just think Uso versus Uso, good opening, get it kicked off, and then probably then going into more mediocre matches from there, really, probably getting a lot of them into night one.
Yeah. See, I really struggled about where to put Uso versus Uso. Yeah, because obviously it's going to feed into the Bloodline battle at the end, and then potentially the Bloodline rules match. And I'm just like, so again, I have an idea of who I'd want to win, but then I'm like, I also am thinking about the whole narrative and how that might lead into the other ones. So I've got them for night two. So I've gone for night two, but like you, I've gone early to leave enough of a gap between that and like the final battle kind of thing. But no, it makes sense. And that would pop off to the crowd. It would, because I think that could be a strong start.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I think my thing is, depending on who would win, depends on whether it's night one or night two for me.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
If Jay wins, night one.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jimmy wins, it needs to be night two.
That's a good shout.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can see where you're
going. Because it needs to be a thing of, like, overarching storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm like, everyone who can needs to feed into Cody's match against Roman. And I'm like, what feeds into it more than all of his allies losing prior to his match? So it's like, it's been a night of losses for everyone you're cool with, everyone you love, everyone who's your friend, who's your buddy. Every single one of them has lost. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural trend.
So who are you saying? So you saying Jimmy would win on night one, or Jay would win on night one?
Jay would win on night one.
See, I'd go Jimmy, because I'm thinking that Infinity War. I'm thinking it's like Bloodline are going to completely clean up on night one, and it has to be, look, they are on top. They've beaten everybody, and that's it. They are just going to completely clean up, and then it's into that in that sort of like end game scenario, even into night two. But I can see what you mean. The difference between the two.
Yeah, no, it's a really good narrative you guys have picked up on there. And now I'm rethinking this, and I'm thinking, I should have probably swapped these two matches over. It's like, son of a bitch. Right, okay. But I'll go with what I have. But I do like the fact that you guys have gone with, well, especially Nick, Usos on the first night. And I think that probably makes sense. And especially the other matches I have, that might be a better narrative. So,
Can I interrupt for a second and just highlight one thing that I'm in love with, right? Mm-hmm. Is the fact that we as wrestling fans refer to a six-man match as a six-pack challenge, no matter what. Because ever since Stone Cold called it the six-pack challenge, it's been, you got six man in a match, it's a six-pack challenge.
Six-pack challenge, it's true. Facts.
I actually hadn't realized that was where it came from.
I didn't.
You want more history for you, Ryan? The original six-pack challenge, Stone Cold wasn't even a participant in the match. He was a special guest enforcer.
Enforcer.
That's how,
I love that role.
that is how popular he was.
The special enforer.
Right, so my second match, I've got one-on-one. I've got LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I've got that as my second match. Big one for the crowd. Some big entrances there. The crowd are going to love LA Knight's entrance. And for me, it has to be an LA Knight win. I'm surprised he's not in some kind of title contention on this pay-per-view. I probably would have had him involved in like the United States Championship arena. But, you know, I think him and AJ will put on a good match with him. You know, AJ's got a lot of experience. And I love the fact that you've got this heel AJ, and he's just like so determined and focused and stuff. And I think it's kind of what LA Knight needs right now. So, yeah, but I'd have LA Knight going over.
I have I have it later in the card.
Right, okay. On night one?
On night one. I have it
later in the card. And who would you book for it to win?
To win? AJ. Sorry, LA. I have LA win.
Okay. Neil, so who's your second match?
My second match is Bayley versus Io.
Really?
Okay. I get it because I know they've done women's championships early in the past. And the big thing that we got the issue here is night one doesn't end with a championship match.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it throws everything out in terms of that format.
I think what I'm doing with, you'll notice with my match card, what I'm doing is like, it's, there's a match, then there's a title match, then there's a match, then there's a title match. But also the matches, I am kind of basing it on like, this match, massive crowd reaction. This match, not so much. This match, massive crowd reaction. This match, not so much. Because I think WWE are going to want maximum noise for their marquee matches. And I think knowing that, obviously, Rock, Cody, Seth, Roman is going to end the show, then you're going to, whatever, you're going to need a match in between that match. That is, it's going to be a good match, but it's not going to be a match that's going to require massive engagement. And I think that Bayley versus Ia will actually get quite a lot of engagement.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
So you put that match where it can be all right. That's why I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think LA, the last match before the main event is LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Really? I'm going complete opposite.
I think that match, other than LA's intro,
nobody
and
cares.
Then obviously whenever he lands a big move, and then the end of the match, that match is not going to be people going nuts. I don't believe they will be going as mad as expected.
I've got Bayley and Io Sky on night one, but I've got them, I think, second to last match. Yeah, I've got second
same
to last
match.
So we have them before Rock.
I've got a segment in between, but we can't see anything other than a Bayley win, right? Well, that's how I'd book it.
Anyway, yeah, it's
that's how I'd book it. Again, it's not a prediction, it's a statement. I'd have Bayley winning.
I can imagine, I see Bayley winning. Whilst I can't get the exact win I want, there won't be an extra person running down, but a Bayley win will suffice.
So, Ryan, what is your second match?
Exactly the same as yours, LA versus Styles. And then on the EO versus Bayley thing, again, second to last. Like, I kind of feel you need the championship match right near the end. You probably put a women's match on there, and then you've got a championship match just before that, because both men's main titles are the next night. You're probably going to have Rhea be on night two. So my opinion is Bayley versus EO Royal Rumble winner. There you go, main event. Or co-main event, as it were. But yeah, I think LA Knight and AJ Styles is a good WrestleMania kickoff. I know I've said Austin Hogan, that tag match there, but again, there'll be more of a segment, whereas I think the first match, LA Knight, AJ Styles, makes a lot of sense. Imagine if the first match music that they hear is LA Knight, it'll just be the crowd will go
absolutely. Yeah, that's true. They will go nuts.
Nick, what have you got for your second match?
Same. I've got LA Knight and AJ Styles. I agree with what you're saying, Neil. I think you've got to go big match, not so big match. But with me opening with Jay, and again, pretty much what you were just saying with LA Knight, having Jay's music opening WrestleMania with the entire crowd bouncing, I think that's a great way to do it. And then you calm it down. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you calm it down a little bit with LA Knight. And as good as LA Knight is, I feel like it's a bit of a waste of a match for him at WrestleMania. And I agree, there probably should have been a belt on the line somewhere for him, but that's why I'd go into two. And then talking about Bayley again, I'd have it second to last. I'd have it the last match before before the Bloodline match.
Yeah, you said on the last one you'd book it. So she's got her wibbly wobblies, is her original music, and she puts a scrunchie in her hair.
Doesn't happen. No, I'm not watching Night 2.
Awesome. Right. Let's move on to number three. So my third match, I've got the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match. So this is the six-pack challenge match. So at the moment, we've got Judgment Day, DIY, The New Day, and Awesome Truth as the confirmed. So we've got two spots left. They're being decided this Friday on SmackDown. And the two matches are we've got the Street Profits versus the Authors of Pain, AOP. And then we've got Grayson Waller and Austin Theory versus the OC, Gallows and Anderson. So having a look at those matches, because originally I had a three-on-three. I was going to have sort of like Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Kieran Cross and AOP as a three-on-three tag match. But if one of them are going to be in this, then that's not something that was going to happen. So I was like, okay, I'm going to rebook this fight.
Well, it could happen. So imagine there's a double disqualification and then they both get out. And then the team that I really want to get in, the Creed Brothers, get in a last chance battle royale or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting play. Yeah.
Then that way you get your six-man match.
Okay. I like that. All right. That's a good shout.
It's not necessarily one of them, though, is it? Because isn't it tournaments? They're doing tournaments on SmackDown, aren't they? So didn't we already have two on SmackDown just gone who are going to going to fight each other on the last SmackDown before WrestleMania? So Raw did it 2-on-2. So that's so everyone was decided on Monday. But on SmackDown, they're doing it on a tournament style. So they had the two matches last week on SmackDown. So the two winners of last week's SmackDown, I can't remember who it was. I'm assuming it was British Strong Style. And who else was in it? It's
all a blur. Phantasma, whatever they're called.
Oh yeah.
So it was LW. Oh yeah. So yeah. Yeah. I know you mean. So them. Right. Yeah. Them versus. It's going to be them versus British Strong Style for one spot. And then this week on SmackDown, it's going to be those matches you just said. And then the winner of those two matches will face each other on the last SmackDown before WrestleMania to get the spot. But I think you're right. I think it'll be British Strong Style from last week's will win that tier. And then it'll be Street Profits. Yeah, because there's only two spots. But they've got
That makes sense.
Eight matches. Yeah. Because there's no way the OC are going to WrestleMania. It's not.
No, they're not. They're not. Okay. So that makes sense. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if that's good, because then what you could have is you could have Grayson Waller and Austin Theory beating the OC. Street Profits beat Author of Pain, for example. But then... Yeah. Grayson and Waller will beat the Street Profits. So both of those tag teams are both out. That makes sense. All right, cool. I like that.
If they do what you said last week, Keenan, and they split the titles, so we get a Raw and a SmackDown because they both get to the top of the ladder at the same time. I'd put money on Theory and Waller getting the SmackDown ones. I think that'd happen. I think you can, because as long as you got somebody good winning it on Raw, as long as you got Awesome Truth getting the Raw titles, you could definitely go the heel route and give it to Austin Theory and Grayson Waller on SmackDown.
I literally have it in front of me right now.
Yeah, go on.
And it says Tag Team Championship, Awesome Truth. So it doesn't say Waller and thing. It says Awesome Truth / SmackDown winners, and next to it says title splits.
Yeah, okay. Do you know what? I hope that happens because they need to get the title. They need to split those titles between the two.
They do,
because there's nothing going on SmackDown. Raw's great every week, and SmackDown, I'm just sat there like, I'm only here for The Rock's 15 minutes or 25 when it goes over. But that's the only reason I'm watching it. So they need to create. They need to create a bit more of a buzz on SmackDown. Okay.
Yeah, no, if I was going to have one winner, it'd be Awesome Truth. I think that just, you know, the narrative's been there, and I want Truth to have his moment. It was more important for me that Truth has it than The Miz. it's all about
definitely.
But if they could split it, that'd be quite something. And I wouldn't be averse to like even New Catch Republic, but I think that heel, because you're going to have the Waller, in theory, is like the heel tag, and then you'd have Miz and R-Truth as the face tag, and then they kind of split them.
Because thinking about it as we're discussing it, here's what's going through my head. You have New Catch Republic, you have them definitely in.
Yeah.
So it's just down to, you have the Street Profits versus Waller and Theory. And then you have Authors of Pain interrupt that match.
Spot
and
on.
Cost them that match, right?
Yeah, leading to a match.
It means that Theory and Waller didn't actually qualify for the match. They didn't get to this main event on the strength of their own
merits.
Talent.
Yeah.
They just got in. And then you have them win half the SmackDown half of the titles based off of the fact that they aren't the ones responsible. Maybe you just have it that Grayson Waller just happens to be on the ladder at the same time. Like, you know, you have three ladders lined up. You have six people on it. You have, like, everybody scrapping and fighting. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you have, I don't know, one ladder gets pushed off, and then that just leaves R-Truth on the ladder. And then another ladder gets pushed off, and it just leaves Grayson Waller on the ladder, and they both grab the titles at the same time, pull it down, and it's like, oh, you won the titles, but you didn't actually win. You didn't earn the victory.
Yeah,
you luckily got it. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, even more hilarious, well, it wouldn't be hilarious, you can pull the same stunt that they pulled when Otis won Money in the Bank. You can have it, yanks the title down and then drops it as they pull it off.
Yeah.
And Grayson Waller catches it and it's like, well, I won now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
You have, like, it sounds hokey. I know everyone listening probably thinks this is bullshit.
Or it'd be because maybe it's a mistake by R-Truth because of his capacity.
Yeah,
maybe he pulls the title off and, like, drops one, like, yeah, I'm gonna hold on to this one, drops the other one. Waller picks someone's like, all right, I'll have this one then. And R-Truth's like, we can share, it's fine. So I got no animosity between us, we'll share.
completely agree with that. I think what I'd love to see happen if we're splitting them is, and this, they'll probably delay this to WrestleMania Backlash, but screwy finish where two people legitimately could have won it. There you go. Somehow the Judgment Day are still involved because they want their rematch and they demand it. So triple threat. Then either night two or night or WrestleMania Backlash, you have a triple threat, two falls, one for each title.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to happen with the Undisputed title last year to get it off Roman.
Right. Okay.
Then he'd never have to be pinned. But they can do it with the tag titles and split them that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good shout. All right, cool. Sorry, that's taking up a load of time. So, Neil, what's your third match?
The Tag Team Championships.
That's yours as well. Okay, cool. Ryan, what was your third match?
I have Gunther versus Sammy.
Really? Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah, Gunther versus Sammy. I would have that as my third segment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily because you've got Judgment Day, the tag title match will be used as a break later on between story-driven emotional matches. And I think Gunther versus Sammy is going to be pretty high up there. I'd love it to be the co-main event, but I think that's going to be EO versus Bayley because of the Royal Rumble win. So, and then I think the Intercontinental Championship's night one because you've got Randy Orton night two and that stacks night. Gunther versus Sammy. I think goes third.
And who would you book to win?
Personally, I think Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sammy because Gunther needs to start chasing Cody for the championship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
So it's a good way to get him off it. It's a big WrestleMania win. There's no shame in losing to an emotionally charged Sami Zayn. And it's a big time to lose the title. So the only thing against it would be you've got Roman lose the title and Gunther lose the title at the same time. It's pretty predictable. So my heart goes Sammy, my head goes Gunther retains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that match third to last.
Same. Play?
Same. Yeah. Because obviously I have that match, then I have LA AJ, and then I have the main event.
Yeah, okay.
And I have Cody. I have Gunther winning. I have him retaining.
That's how I book it as well. Because like when you mentioned about setting up the sort of like the end game, if I for Jay and Jimmy, I'm booking Jimmy, Jay loses. I'm booking Gunther, Sammy loses, and then they're all gonna rally behind Cody. They've all had their losses to help, not well help him in a sense, but I think it's gonna be a case of they're gonna be managing the bloodline outside of the ring and being involved in it that way. That's kind of how I see it happening, and then they can celebrate with him. For me, Sammy's had his moment last year with Kevin Owens, night one, main event. For me, he doesn't take it. I'd have Gunther retaining. You know, Roman's done it for a number of years, hanging on to it. There's no reason he can't. And I'd maybe wait until it might be a comeback of some kind to take the Intercontinental. But they say the moment the locker room, what happens? When does the draft happen?
The draft is like usually.
It's in May, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like after. It's like, I think it's after like Backlash.
Right. Because I'm wondering whether I keep. Because if that's the case, I'd probably keep on Gunther and then move him over to SmackDown and let him start going through that roster. Because he's done it on Raw. So for retaining him, there isn't much left for him. So I'd probably bring him over, take the US title over to Raw, switch it up a little bit, and have him start going through there. And then you can have the likes of LA Knight, Randy Orton, AJ, even Logan Paul going for the Intercontinental as opposed to the other. So that's how I'd book it. So I'd have Gunther retain.
I'm of a very similar thought pattern. I have Gunther retaining. I have him... When the draft happens, he is moved to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I have that because I have Cody on SmackDown, and I have it that one of Cody's challenges is Gunther. Mm-hmm. Well, I have it happen late for the purpose of Gunther probably being the person to dethrone Cody.
Do you really?
So why hold off on that for a while? Mm-hmm. Like I said, if Cody is champion for like 6 months, then month six, you have a date with Destiny, you know, and they'll be playing an Austrian jingle, and you will not enjoy that two-step.
Champion versus champion at SummerSlam.
I mean, that I would love. And the thing is, as wild as it sounds, what I'd really love, WWE don't do this anymore, but I'd love if they did it. Gunther dethrones Cody, and then he just gives up the Intercontinental title. He's like, I am now, I'm double champion. I'm this great. This means nothing anymore.
And I retire it. Defeated.
And he drops it. He's just like, this means nothing
anymore. You spent 2 years building up the IC title.
You can't do that to the title.
I mean, it's just as bad as Roman going, oh, you're holding the toy championship, Seth. We've spent 2 years making Gunther and this title mean something, and then they just go, oh, we'll just drop it in the trash.
Exactly, yeah.
I wouldn't mind him retiring the championship in order to go for another one. So I'd be I'd rather he did it before he won his next title. So if he just said, right, I've beaten everybody there is now, I'm going to retire as my reign as champion, undefeated, I'm going for the WWE championship, then that, I think, is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Or he was just saying this week how it's the biggest title. Yeah. That's the thing.
Or,
I think
then
it's
what I really
it.
Have happen is you have Gunther retains, goes to Backlash, faces the Andre the Giant winner, Chad Gable, and then loses it.
Yeah. 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 And then Chad gets his moment. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The thing about giving up the championship, they've kind of established you. Like Roman didn't have to give up his Universal title to get the WWE. Mm-hmm. And it really made no sense when Samoa Joe did it. He was like, oh, I'm the Ring of Honor champion. Oh, well, screw that. I'll be the AEW champion. So, yeah, it just doesn't make sense why you wouldn't want both. Especially when they
talk about double champion and stuff. Yeah.
They're really fond of people holding up two titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. In that case, and you have it. I mean, as long as Chad Gable is the next Intercontinental champion, I'm okay with it, whichever way they tend to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Nick, who are you booking for that
third match? Oh, for that title defense? Oh,
yeah.
Gunther 100%. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think Sammy sealed it for himself when he sat there this week and said, I was the one to end the longest running tag team championships, and yeah, I'll be the one to end yours. And it's like, you shouldn't have said that, because now you're definitely not doing that in two WrestleManias in a row.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
It's a big accolade to give it.
Yeah, yeah, it's not happening. No way at all.
So, who have you got for your third match then, Nick?
It was my third. I did have the US title, but I've changed my mind having had this conversation. Right. I'm going Gunther. Yeah. I think the way that they need to I was very much of the opinion, like, night one, get the matches that aren't the least important, lesser important ones, shall we say, that people aren't as fussed about. But I think if we're going down this route of the baddies win, and especially with Sammy being like ex-bloodline, I think you need to have that night one. I think Bayley can be the exception towards the end of the night, because she's not part of that story in any way, shape or form. Right. But yeah, I agree. I think it needs to be Gunther beating Sammy for match number three.
Okay, cool. Right. So we'll move on. So 1, 2, 3. So my fourth match, I've got, this is a new match. I've got Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. So they've had
exactly
a little bit
of what I've got as well.
Really? Right.
Yeah. So
they've built up a little bit of a feud, and obviously I need to get Bianca on the show and I want to get Tiffany on the show, but I don't think that either of them deserve to be in a battle royal circumstance, especially like Bianca. So she needs her own match, but I was going to put her in like the tag team title championship defense, but I was like, no, the kind of way the story's played out, I want her to have, because I think a better story for her is she's 3-0 at WrestleMania. So she's building her own streak. So now for me, this is a WrestleMania streak moment. So she can go, I can go 4-0. And I'd book Bianca to go over, because, you know, Tiffany's great, but she's not ready to win a match at WrestleMania yet. It's too early. She will be my next Money in the Bank winner, and that'll carry her through. So for me, yes, Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. It's a WrestleMania streak match, and I have Bianca going over. So that's my fourth match. So is that your next match as well, Nick? Or is that?
Yeah, well, I definitely had it beaten by Bianca Belair versus somebody. And in the back of my head, it was Tiffany Stratton, because I was thinking who she got heat with at the moment. It would either be that or Bianca and Tiffany Stratton versus the Kabuki Warriors, being forced into that position. I could see either of them. I think it's more likely it's going to be Bianca versus Tiffany, but I could also see them being sort of shoehorned into a situation that they don't want. Bianca, you know, it's 2 years she's sort of defended the title, or won the title and defended the title. So I think going for a belt would be good for her as well. And I can't think of anything else for the Kabuki Warriors to do, other than, you know, get involved in Bayley's. But yeah, I'd probably, if I was putting money on it, Bianca versus Tiffany. Okay. And I think you're right. I think Bianca's gonna have the win.
Okay, cool. Neil, what have you got as your fourth match?
Well, my fourth match was the Gunther-Sammy.
Gunther-Sammy, okay, cool. All right, cool. We've covered that. And Ryan, what's your next match?
Bobby and the Street Profits versus Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain.
Cool. So that was my match number five. Yeah, so that was my toilet break match. So
that's exactly what I was thinking.
I mean, it's kind of got to be Karrion Kross if they want to do anything with him, right? And then they brought back the Authors of Pain. Bobby's not going to be hurt by a loss. Street Profits aren't going to be hurt by a loss. And night one's the night of bad guys, right? So it makes sense to me. Like, if he loses, he's done.
I'd agree. From a booking standpoint, that's how I feel. It has to be Karrion Kross and AOP. So, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I'd see that match happening. Although, I'll save it for the next match.
All right, okay. Nick, what have you got for your next match?
Do you know what? Again, doing this on the fly, I would probably stick with. I think I don't know about the exact order, but yeah, I think you're probably going to have Street Profits and Bobby Lashley versus AOP and Karrion Kross. And yeah. I think AOP needs to win it, or Karrion needs to win it, because he's not doing anything otherwise. I think it'd also be a good opportunity, because I think both of those factions, they're not really doing anything, in my opinion. Yeah. It's not a great story. Neither faction is sort of, you know, like setting the world on fire. Karrion needs the win, obviously, otherwise he's probably done because there's nothing else for him to do at that stage. I think it'd be a good jumping off point as well to give Montez a bit of a solo launch by having a bit of a kickoff with Bobby, maybe some sort of blame for losing the match. And I think it's okay to break up that faction in doing that. Because again, they're not doing much anyway, and it'd be a good push for Montez.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I like that.
I know that we'll be trying to stick to, like, you know, kayfabe and what's going on. Mm-hmm. But part of me feels like if the Street Profits are involved in a match at WrestleMania, they are going to win. Because there's a recent event took place outside of wrestling that I would say would probably promote a Street Profits WrestleMania win.
Okay, what's that?
Not Montez.
Angelo Dawkins.
Angelo Dawkins, his mom passed away.
Okay. Mm. Okay, so yeah, sometimes WWE kind of.
It depends.
I can only see it happening if they lean into it story-wise in the show. Otherwise, I'm not sure that it will come across enough.
I think if he doesn't take the pin, if Angelo doesn't take the pin as well, I think you could get around it. Yeah. If the loss is down to some sort of feud. Yeah, if it's down to Bobby, if it's down, or even down to like, you know, a Montez. Kickoff between Montez and Bobby, then I think it takes away the heat from that. And at the end of the day, you know, Angelo Dawkins is still getting to do what, 2 WrestleManias in a row, so you know, it's still a massive accomplishment.
I mean, the downside, as nice as it would be if they did, and it is much more likely under Triple H than Vince, because Vince would probably have him go out, mention his mum, then specifically lose with a picture of her in the ring or something like that.
Yeah.
It's so true.
If they do that, Karrion Kross's career is done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my next match was probably actually Street Profits and Karrion Kross AOP, which we've already discussed. So Neil, what's your next match?
Well, I'm adding this because I've already discussed what would be my second to last match. So I'm adding this based off of what you guys were saying. Mm-hmm. I would have Bianca Belair and Naomi versus the Kabuki Warriors.
I've got the tag match book for night 2. So I won't go into it too much, but
no, I'm intrigued as to who you've got in that tag match now.
I would have those two in that match. I mean, as I'm saying these words, I'm now thinking, yeah, it'd probably be better on night 2, but at the same time, I think it's better on night 1 because I think what it does is Bayley winning works great. But damage control will still hold titles and will still be damage control. There needs to be a complete dissolve of them.
They lose everything.
Yeah. And whilst we're having this whole, you know, Infinity War moment, villains win it all. But I just think if it's not related to the bloodline, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Having Kabuki Warriors, having them lose because Naomi is already kind of somewhat aligning herself with Bayley.
Yeah, because she came in to try and save her.
Yeah. So you have that, and then you have Bianca, who's like, nah, she made her own decisions. That's her business. Mm-hmm. So putting them two together, you have two faces who are at odds with each other based off of something. And it's like, your ability to coexist is in question because of who you align yourself with.
I almost picked her for Naomi and Bianca Belair, but I'll tell you how. So I've got or night two, I've got Naomi and Jade Cargill. Because
as a match.
No, as in they're teaming up.
Warriors.
Oh, they're going up against Warriors.
Yeah. So for me, it's like Naomi's kind of on her own, so she has to go source another partner. Mm-hmm. She comes out with Jake because obviously, she had a great Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. I know there's talk about her necessarily not being ready. So I think if you pair her with someone like Naomi, who's got a lot of experience, can really take her through the next few weeks and months of shows, I think that could be a really great pairing for her, which could then potentially lead to a match between her and Bianca Belair next year or something like that. But yeah, that's kind of, I've paired them two up together. But my first inclination was to have Bianca Belair and Naomi in the tag match. But then I was like, no, I want to do this streak thing because we haven't had a streak thing since Undertaker. So I'm just like, yeah, I want to build a streak first. Ryan, who's your next match?
So I was going back and forth. Part of me, originally I had the women's tag night two. But thinking about it now with Io Sky and Bayley and everything you guys were saying, probably does make more sense that they lose everything night one if they if they were going to and Bayley has a victory. Originally, I had a CM Punk segment at that bit where he would come out and it would further the feud between him and Drew. So I'm not entirely sure how, but I'm also convinced Punk is going to be the special ref for that match. So
is his arm still in a cast?
No. No, there's a there's a video of him today in the gym, and he's got no brace, no cast.
All right.
However, it's WWE, so he could have a cast, and he could use that to hit Drew.
Yeah.
It cost him the title.
Interesting.
So I know that McNeil, but like I see a CM Punk segment there to build for night two.
Okay. Are we all booking Kabuki Warriors to lose, I take it, right? Whatever, whoever they're facing.
Again?
I'm not necessarily.
I say Kabuki Warriors, are they losing?
Does everyone have any opinion?
I just think, purely because I think you've got, taken out like Karrion Kross's faction and stuff like that. You've got three big factions here going into WrestleMania. You've got the Judgment Day, you've got the Bloodline, and you've got Damage Control. And I think if you're already going to have Judgment Day lose everything, and you're going to have the bloodline lose everything, is it a bit much then getting Damage Control to lose everything as well? Is it the same story?
You say it Judgment Day aren't losing everything. I suppose.
No, you're not going to have them lose. They're not going to. I don't think Rhea's going to lose. I forgot about that, to be honest. Yeah. But I think they're going to lose their titles, and I think it's going to start creating the cracks. To be honest, when they do lose those titles, so I'm just not sure they're going to start destroying that faction and start destroying that faction and then do this one as well.
It's a good point. They could retain because then. It kind of puts the pressure on Bayley still, rather.
If you have Kabuki Warriors retaining those title matches midway through the night one, you know, a couple of matches before Bayley, then it's going to make them go into that match super confident, not desperate. Yeah. We are going to win this. We are powerful.
You can have a nice backstage segment with that.
It's going to make Bayley beating Io even more powerful. And I think if Bayley can beat her clean and not go and beat Io when the cracks have already formed in Damage Control, but beating Io when you've got a solid Damage Control who've just retained their titles, I think it carries so much more weight. And I think that's what Bayley deserves at this point.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah, that's nice. I've got them on night two anyway. But I'd like, if it was going to be on the same night, I do like that because it feeds into Bayley's story more. And like, I think she's probably a little bit not as developed as some of the other main matches. That'd be quite nice to do. So, all right. Next up. So my next match, I've got my Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther versus Sammy. And as I say, I'm booking Gunther to win. It's quite straightforward for me. So, Neil, what's your next match?
Well, that is my LA AJ.
That's your LA AJ.
Cool. Second to last, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan, what's yours?
So I've got the CM Punk segment, then... We're in second to last match now, are we?
Yeah.
I've got two more matches, but yeah, go on.
Sorry, yeah, so second class. So yeah, Io versus Bayley would be after my CM Punk segment.
Okay, cool.
Same as me.
And Same. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So next after my Intercontinental match, I've got an entertainment section. So this is WrestleMania 40. I've got Trish Stratus and Lita coming out to the crowd.
This is the Hardys.
Yeah. And then I'm going to have them take down Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. So Candice LeRae's been a bit of a bully. So I thought I'll have some old school come and teach them a lesson. So yeah, it's just a good excuse for them to be on the show and have the crowd, you know, pipe up a little bit. So again, it's that segment which builds up. So then I would have my next match as the Women's Championship match, you know, Sky versus Bayley. So then that would take me on to my second to last match.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so next for me, then I've got the Hall of Fame section. So that breaks up the two major matches. So you got Io Sky and Bayley, then you have your Hall of Fame, which then right before your main event.
Right.
So we'll all, I think we've all got the same main event. So,
oh, yeah.
Neil, do you have anything happening before the main event?
Another toilet break.
No, I don't. But I feel like I don't have anything happening before the main event, but I think I have things that happen that lead into the main event.
Okay.
Is I have, like, essentially, this is the, because this is the bloodline, what I have is I have as many, like, almost like I have, I'm very torn between this because this is like an idea of an entrance and I don't know which way it works better. But essentially, I have as many members of many living members of the bloodline basically line up to acknowledge The Rock and Roman as they come to the ring. So even if it's like you have Cody and Steph come out to the ring, then you have The Rock's grand entrance, but then he doesn't come to the ring. And then you have Roman's entrance, but you have like, so you have the, you have Jimmy Uso and you have Solo Sikoa and you have, you know, Afa and Sika.
Rikishi.
Paul Heyman, yeah, you have Rikishi there. You have everyone, because there's even, there's so many members. You have people like Lance Anawahi, you know, you have Jacob.
Didn't Roman have some of his ancestors on a SmackDown, like when he was doing the whole tribal chief thing and they gave him the beads and stuff, right?
When he beat Jay, the second time he beat Jay, when he beat him in the I Quit match, that's the first time when they put the red beads on him.
Yeah, and he had some of the family there.
And so he had all those and Tika. He had so his dad and his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And they, because they were like the last, I guess you say the last chiefs directly of Anawahi, and they put the beads on him to say, like, we acknowledge you. And I just have them all there because it's like, okay, this is the moment. And I think if you have Jimmy versus Jay on night one and Jimmy wins, again, it's like, it's feeding into it more. And it's so much of like the acknowledgement, the bloodline, the bloodline, the bloodline. But then you have all of this happen and then they come to the ring and it's like, this is what we bring behind us when we talk about how great our family is.
Yeah.
Like, Cody, you got you, your brother, your dad.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Yeah, yeah. Your dad ain't there and your brother ain't there. It's
just yeah.
So, yeah. And okay, like, cool.
That.
All right. Ryan, have you got any other matches before the main event?
No, Hall of Fame. And then
Hall of Fame.
Lead into it. Although it's kind of, Neil's idea is great, and I think it probably will happen. Conflicts slightly, and I can't really make it go with my idea. My idea was that at the end of the Hall of Fame segment, Paul Heyman's basically the head of the class, right? That Paul Heyman would then transition you from Hall of Fame to, I'm this Hall of Fame guy, here's The Rock, here's Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. But then you'd have Cody and Seth coming out second, because otherwise you'd have to introduce them. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't quite go with the tribal parade, we'll call it.
Well, you say that.
I actually quite like that because
it does. I'll tell you why. Imagine the hostilities of Seth and Cody trying to walk through that.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, their music playing, and obviously, you know how much Cody loves Cody's entrance. The whole arena go, whoa! And then imagine he's like getting ready to do it, and then he looks, he glances to left and right, and then he
he's
just
got the bloodline left and right of him.
And he's just like, you know, folded arms and just mean looks, and he's just like, let me get a little further down the ramp before I...
But you can get away with it as well, because this Seth and Cody are still getting their entrance on night two. So it's not even taken away from their WrestleMania entrance. You can kill their entrances. You can ruin their entrances on night one. You can absolutely destroy them. You can make them intimidated coming down to the ring, because they're still going to get their nice big look. I'm the power in night two, and you're not taking anything away from them. I like that.
Really, and also, Ryan, you got some storytelling in your blood, boy. Because imagine that. Paul Heyman, he's the head of the class. And then Paul Heyman is just like announcing, here is Hall of Famers, the Afro and Sika Wild Samoans. Yeah. Here is son of Hall of Famer. Here is uncle of Hall of Famer. And he's just reeling off Hall of Fames. And it's just
And he'll just keep and he'll say who the Hall of Famers are, so like Rocky's father and stuff like that, even though they're not there, but Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's kind I just had a bit of a mean thought. Like you get halfway through and he's doing all of this. It's like, he's all of these Hall of Famers. And then suddenly he goes, here's Tamina.
Here, daughter of Hall of Famer Jimmy Snuka, Tamina.
I mean, that's what you.
But we got Rock's daughter as well, right? Like, you know, Rock's daughter out there.
Yeah.
The youngest ever general manager. It's all big stuff, isn't it?
Nice. All right. Cool.
Yeah, you have moments like that happen.
Nick, anything before the main event?
No, just like a 45-minute previously on WWE before the Bloodline match. That's it.
I have that on night two.
No, it's night two and night one. It's fine.
No, they'll do it again. Right, let's just run through our list then before we go to the main event. So I had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I had Chad Gable booked to win. LA Knight and AJ Styles. LA to win. The WWE Tag Team Six-Pack Challenge.
Yep.
Want to split it between Awesome Truth. Probably Waller and Theory. I quite like that story. Then I've got Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. Bianca Belair going over. Bobby Lashley and Street Profits versus Karrion Kross and AOP. Karrion Kross takes the win. Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Gunther retains. Then we've got Entertainment, Trish Stratus and Lita come down. Then we have WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky versus Bayley. Bailey taking home the gold. And then we've got Hall of Fame. Then we go on to the main event. So, Neil, give us a recap of your list.
Mine is Andre the Giant,
then
which is Chad Gable winning. Mm-hmm. Bayley versus Io, which sees Bayley winning. Then what was it? Then it was Tag Team Championships, title split between Awesome Truth and now Waller and Theory. Mm-hmm. Followed by, I believe it was, Gunther versus Sammy, which sees Gunther retaining. Then, it is the Women's Tag Team Championship, which will be Bianca Belair and Naomi versus Kabuki Warriors. They win. Then it is LA Knight versus AJ Styles. LA wins. And then Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman.
We'll go into that. Ryan, recap on your card.
So I had the Andre match on the pre-show. Again, Chad winning that. Then we kick off with Austin and Hogan segment, or a Legacy of WrestleMania segment, which I think almost certainly will involve Austin and Hogan.
They'll probably throw Cena in there as well.
True, yeah. Mm-hmm. Austin, Hogan, Cena, yeah. I mean, then you've got The Rock later on the night. It's basically Mount Rushmore. The only other need is Flair, but he's definitely not going to be there. Then LA Knight, AJ Styles. I've got LA winning that. I have my fancy, my heart of the big beefy men, but that probably won't happen. Then Gunther versus Sammy. Again, Gunther to win, even though I would like Sammy. Yeah, but Gunther. Then Bobby and Street Profits versus Karen.
Remember, this is your bookings. If you want Sami to win, you have Sami winning. This isn't prediction.
Yeah, but like, I want him to win, but my booking is Gunther's got to be still.
He's got to be. For business, what's best for business?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sami to B-plus play, you know? It's, he's an A-plus in my heart. Then I've got Bobby and the Street Profits and Karrion Kross and the AOP. Then I've got the women's tag. I have no idea who against, frankly. Yeah. I originally had Candice LeRae as the opponent there because they're clearly building her up. So she'll cheat her way into a match somehow. But then it's heel versus... Yeah, either way. I'm not sure who yet, but I've got the women's tag there again to feed into Io Bailey. Then I've got the men's tag, the CM Punk segment to build up to Drew the next night. Mm-hmm. Io Sky and Bailey, Hall of Fame segment, then main event.
All right, cool. Nick, have you got a recap? All of the above.
Let's go. Let's try it. Right, I'm going Jay and Jimmy to start. Yeah. Jay and Jimmy to start. Jimmy's going to win it. I'm going LA Knight versus AJ Styles. LA Knight's going to win it. Yeah. I am going to go. Let's go the men's tag. Let's go men's tag after that. I'm going that split. So I'm going for... Who am I going for? Somebody help me. I'm going
awesome
for
truth.
Awesome Truth.
Awesome Truth. And I'm going great.
Somebody else. Theory. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with them. Then I'm going to go Gunther versus Sami.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going for Gunther winning. Gunther's got to retain. Then I'm going to go the women's tag championship.
Mm-hmm.
Kabuki, again, I'm not 100% sure who though. Kabuki Warriors to retain. And then probably, have I got enough matches left? Have I got eight? Let's go eight. Then I'll go AOP. Then I'll go AOP versus Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
Then And then I'm going to go Bailey, EO, and then Bloodline.
All right. Cool. Right. So I mentioned on the Road to WrestleMania that really strong cards, by the way, boys. Well done.
There's nothing left in my two there. That's a problem.
Well, you say that, but
I've got a stack card.
Yeah,
I need to prep for next week.
Put it this way: I put all these matches into night one because night two is a problem. Night two,
if
WWE booked my night two, all I can say is drink as much Red Bull and Monster as you can. You don't want to miss nothing.
I've booked the Monday off work. I'm fine. We'll be okay.
So main event. Now, I was when we did the Road to WrestleMania podcast, I said I wasn't sure how I'd have the main event play out. And you guys were all kind of on the same page straight away, and I was like, you know what? Absolutely, you are 100% right. That's how it should go. And so, yeah, I'm totally in agreement. I think that The Rock pins Cody. Mm-hmm. I think that is probably the right outcome for me. It creates The Rock as the final boss. It means he's backed up everything that he said as you're going into this match. And it makes Cody's journey, Hope Night 2, that a little bit more, even more retribution. You know, so yes, okay, he didn't get this. He hasn't got the match type that he wants. Again, everything's going to be thrown against him before he completes it. I do like the feeling of the fact that Seth is distracted by this match. Mm-hmm. And I think that will lead into night two as well. But it will also set up a little bit of confrontation between Roman Reigns and The Rock in terms 100%. Of Rock taking the spotlight. He'll have his arm up at the end of the match, him with the glory, Roman kind of on the back foot. And yeah, so it sets up lots of little stories, not only for night two, but moving forward. And definitely. Well, as soon as you guys said it and laid out, I can't see it happening any other way. Do you guys still feel the same? Is that how you kind of see it going?
I think it
needs to be. Go on, Neil.
How I envision the end of the match is I envision Cody hits Roman with a crossroads. Mm-hmm. And then as he's rolling to get back up, Rock grabs him, rock bottom, one, two, three. Like, The Rock is the legal man.
Yeah.
Rock, one, two, three, he wins. Roman is, like, not dazed, but he's on his back in the corner, like, looking up at The Rock, hand being raised by the referee. He is the winner. And they're playing his music. Remember,
yes,
the end of, you know, you're used to, if Roman is in the main event,
you're hearing his music.
The only music you hear is the head of the table, and you're hearing The Rock's music playing. And then even if it's like, you know, like, I want there to be some kind of moment where maybe, like, when the Roman's still down, The Rock looks at him like,
yeah,
come on, tribal chief, you know?
Yeah. And then The Rock goes down to see Mama Rhodes and hands her a belt.
Oh.
He said it. He's got to go through with it. It's got to happen.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know what it is? It's, you know what? Oh, do you know what would be lovely?
And I can imagine him, like, he would take his
belt. You know, Cody loves to give people the weightlifting belt?
Yeah.
Imagine, yeah, yeah. Boys, imagine this. Midway through the match, The Rock goes out the ring, goes up to Mama Cody, who's been given the weightlifting belt, snatches it away from her, and proceeds to beat Cody
with his own belt.
Right? Yeah. Beat him with his own belt, and then, like, maybe it's covered in blood. Maybe Cody's busted open and he's beating him with his own belt. It's covered in blood. And then he goes and just hands it back to her.
Hands it back to her at the end of the match. Nice. Sadistic. I love it. Ryan, how do you see it going? Same way?
Yeah, exactly the same way. Cody's promo confirmed it for me on Monday, where he and The Rock are feuding, right? It's clearly him versus... There's more interaction with The Rock and Cody than there is between The Rock and Roman.
Yeah.
So, and especially when he turned around and said, "You've not even been in the ring in a decade."
Sadly.
It's like he's clearly ripping the pin from Roman.
Cody's going to get tetanus from that ring rust.
Nick, are you same page?
100%. It's got to be The Rock. He's got to have been seen at the end of that to be saying, "I've done my bit, Roman. Now you do your bit tomorrow." And then when Roman doesn't do his bit, then it's like, "Well, you're the one who's left the side down. You're the one who's let the bloodline down. Let's see who's the real tribal chief." And then we'll wait to SummerSlam or to Saudi.
Yeah, that's a good shout. How do we see the bloodline interfering in this in that match, or do you think it's going to be more of a 2-on-2?
I think it was 2-on-2 on that night. Because I don't think they'll want to take away from it. I think he'll want it to be, it needs to be, look how powerful The Rock is. He doesn't need the bloodline. He doesn't need Jimmy. He doesn't need Solo. The Rock's going to be the one to pin him. And he's going to pin Cody clean so that he's got that power then over Roman. And then night two will be the night when it goes absolutely apeshit and they're all in there.
Do any of you see Drew coming in and
absolutely
interfering?
Not. Absolutely not.
Nah, he's wanted nothing to do with the bloodline the entire time. Like, it really wouldn't be narratively consistent, but which, if it was Vince, I'd go, 100%, he'll be in there. But with Triple H, every week, Seth has been saying, no, leave the bloodline alone, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone.
Yeah, Drew's trying to tell him.
I see that I can imagine Seth being kind of put out of his misery a little bit in that first match on night one. Through a table or something, so he goes into his match with Drew weaker, because
his knee is damaged, and obviously there was the whole thing about his back being damaged. And are two of The Rock's signature moves not a spine buster and a sharpshooter?
Yeah
they are.
Yeah. The only way I see the bloodline getting involved is if they do something to Seth to allow The Rock to make the pin and that move so he doesn't get saved. I think that's the only thing. But I think from a story perspective, The Rock should win clean. I think, like you say, it needs to happen from that. Like, he is the final boss. He doesn't need that help.
Do you know what?
As Roman's needed the help over the last 3 years, he doesn't need it.
Do you know what I can see as well? Is I don't know which way it will work. But I can imagine, because part of me feels like the people starting the match will be The Rock and Seth. And I can imagine they'll go for, like, the lockup, and The Rock is just going to launch him into the other end of the ring. And then just start laughing. Just like, look how powerful I am. Because the difference between, as we said, you know, in a few episodes ago, the difference between The Rock and the other three people in this match... is massive. It's monumental. This is like, you can see the difference between 6'5" and 6'3".
Yeah, yeah. You know, it doesn't sound much, but it looks a lot.
You know, it doesn't look like, it doesn't sound like much. It's 2 inches, but when you see it, 6'5" with no hair versus 6'3" with a whole good mane.
Yeah.
It says a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Rock's going to be gassed after about a minute and a half. That's the only problem. He's massive. He's like, going to be wrecked.
And he just launches Seth, laughs about it, and then he's just like, yeah, Roman, come on.
Yeah.
Take him to school.
Well, I think that's it. I think the Roman is going to have to do a lot of the leg work in this match. 100%. I think you're right, because Rock won't have that ring ability. Look, he is an athlete at the end of the day, but he isn't even the same Rock that fought Cena. Do you know what I mean?
He's also a man in his 50s.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, all right, yeah, he looks better than, like, most people in their 30s combined together. But you think The Rock physically looks better than most people in their 50s, but how
he's just so big now. So that's it. Because even, like, when he fought Cena, he wasn't as big as he is now. So he had more stamina from that point of view. Stamina can't be there now.
You've got the likes of Seth, who's spending four nights a week doing like half hour matches, running around a ring, and you've got The Rock, who's nowhere near it, and he hasn't done for 10 years, so he's just not going to be able to. I think he'll put on a great show, but I think it'll be in very, very small bursts. I think.
Yeah. Do we think it's going to be quite a short match because of that? Do we think it's going to be more like the 15-minute mark?
Nah, every match is a good half hour now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, but part of me is going to be made to be like, look, we're just going to annihilate you and we're going to blitz through you. Because I think you don't want a complete squash match, you know, like what, you know, a 2 second Brock Lesnar thing, Goldberg sort of thing. But I could see it going either way. I could see it being either something massive that goes on for ages, you know, getting on for like 40 minutes, or it's going to be like 12, 15 minutes and they're just going to tear through Cody and Seth to send that message.
Yeah. Well, that's because three out of the four of them are going to be wrestling the next night. So
exactly,
and they're one-on-one matches, so surely they're going to go on longer.
Yeah,
than this with The Rock,
well, and you're not going to want to risk an injury either if you're going on for 40 minutes.
True, but when you think about it, the longer that match goes on, the more it feeds into night two. The longer that match goes on, the longer Seth is running around that match. The more tired, the more beat up, the more worn down he is. So when he is his match, I can imagine his match being like 10 minutes against Drew.
And I'd actually love that. I'd almost like a Sheamus Daniel Bryan, just boom, take him out, job done.
Yeah, a claim when he's done. And that's the thing, is how crazy would it be? The match starts, Claymore, 1, 2, 3, match is over, right? Yeah.
Or just gives him like 3 Claymores and just completely, like I say, destroys him.
I'd love to see Claymore and then Punk has to count the 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I see that. Immediately the match starts and it's like you got him in the ring, boom, Claymore immediately, and then he's just laying on top of Seth but just looking dead at Punk.
Yeah, not even acknowledging Seth, just like laying across him but just looking at Punk's like, yeah, I like that. That's cool. All right, so that's it. Any more thoughts on night one, gentlemen?
I've got a question. We won't ruin night two. Are we going to get a cash in on night one, or an attempt at cash in on night one?
No,
we're saving it for night two.
I think if it's going to happen, it'll happen night two. Yeah,
I think it will. The thing is, it completely counteracts what we just said about like Seth squashing Drew squashing Seth. But I think the only way the cash in happens is on night two. It happens in that one-on-one match, because it can't happen during the match with it can't happen during that tag match, because it's the Bloodline. You don't interrupt the Bloodline match unless you want all eyes of the Bloodline on you.
But do you interrupt
The only other thing that I would do is potentially have him cash in on Gunther. If I wanted,
that's what I'm also thinking, because they've created a bit of heat there, and I'm also thinking that when they lose those tag titles on night one, which is probably going to happen, he's not I'm not buying that he's going to sit there and compose himself and go in for a cash in night two. I can see panic setting in, or obviously kayfabe panic setting in, and it's like, I need to get a title now because I've just lost my belt. So is he going to go straight into that next match at the end and try and beat Gunther, or is he going to go completely at the end, see a completely down tribal chief who's just lying in the corner and the Rock's had to do everything, and then he tries to catch him at the very end and then just gets destroyed by the Rock. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and again,
and
how
the Rock
much over with
him
that?
Even further.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, the Rock has just annihilated Cody, he's just annihilated Seth. Then this little chump comes in, he's like, well, I'm gonna have a go about beating the tribal chief with my little briefcase, and the Rock just destroys him in 2 seconds as well. And again, it gets rid of that, and it also again puts over the Rock as just a complete force to be reckoned with. So that when Roman loses night two, it's like, look, I've taken out three people in this one match, and you can't beat Cody on your own.
Yeah, no, that's quite something. Does anybody see a successful? Do people think that Damian Priest deserves or should cash in successfully? Regardless, whoever it is,
I don't know about deserves. I just don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. I think the problem is, I think if it was any other crop of people, he would successfully cash in, no matter who it is. But the fact that it's Gunther, the fact that it's, you know, Seth, the fact that it's Roman, the fact that those are his genuine choices.
Or Logan Paul, but he's not going to he's not taking that title off Logan Paul before SummerSlam in Cleveland, is he? So there's literally nobody.
So it's like,
you could have like Orton or Owens win, and then he takes it off them. But
no, because
there's
again,
just no history there. Yeah,
can he cash in on another brand's title?
Cash
in on anyone, right?
Okay, but the problem with that is because SummerSlam is in Cleveland. I don't see, and you gotta remember where we're talking. This is that WrestleMania is the start of April, so May, June, July, August, 4 months. And the thing is, that's 4 months for Judgment Day to fall to pieces, the eventual pay-per-view match between between Damian and Finn, and then you know. We have that match, it happens, he wins, he's built up a bit more, you know, maybe he works his way through people, and then I don't know, maybe he gets screwed at this moment, at that moment. Hell, you can have him have a actual title match against Drew or against Cody or against whoever is the champion. You can have him have that match and lose, and then that's what propels him to be like, I'm gonna cash in on this person.
Yeah,
but he's only got till he got till the 1st of July.
Yeah, so it's July.
Money in the bank.
Yeah, until the next Money in the Bank.
Yeah, 6th of July.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can see a reason to cash in on Gunther, definitely, because what could happen is he could literally bring all of Judgment Day down with him. He could bring Finn Balor. He could bring Dominic.
He's still not winning.
You know, and he could bring him down.
He's taking that
title. But if you wanted to cash in on a week... Weaken Gunther to protect him a little bit, because Sami Zayn could take him to the brink, and you know he's hardly got anything left in the tank. And they four of them come down, dismantle him, and then he pins him. You know, so you know Imperium could come down and he could have a bit of a focus. But I mean, I really wouldn't want Seth to go over Drew, and then him cash in on Seth, because it could be like from a hero point of view, it's like Seth. Okay, he lost that night, but he overcame it. He did the bloodline thing, but he still managed to come out on top, and then it's taken away from him. But also, if I would like to have Drew to have his moment, but there's something about that having been snatched away again, where he takes a title and then suddenly Damian comes in and takes it away from him. Like a fuel in more. But,
the second
I just don't want that.
Actually, I'd love that if you had quick victory. So Claymore, Punk has to count the 1, 2, 3. Damian Priest, the Judgment Day music goes, and they all do the meme of looking at the ramp, and Damian Priest comes down. Suddenly
Punk
there's
nails
another
match. Him.
They nail them, and then Punk does a fast count and looks at Drew.
That would be lovely. would be lovely.
Because Punk could knock Drew from behind whilst they make their way to the ring. Set him up for an easy target.
No, because we need Punk versus Drew. We can't have Punk versus Damian Priest. Nobody wants to see that. We need Punk versus Drew.
Need Punk versus Drew for a title?
Right? It's gonna sound crazy. It's gonna sound
doesn't
crazy.
Have to be, but good.
It's gonna sound crazy, but bear with me.
Damian Priest chokeslams Bayley. Drew takes win. The title.
You have Drew wins.
Desperation.
Immediately, Damian Priest cashes in. Like Ryan said, false count, right? At Backlash, Damian versus Drew. Drew wins, gets his title back.
Yeah.
Right? It sounds weak because we've had these super long reigns and then we're going to have somebody win a title and then literally lose it their first pay-per-view.
I'm okay with that.
But the thing is, you have this happen because you're feeding into the major storyline. Damian Priest is, unfortunately, at this exact moment in time, he is not world title material right now.
Yeah,
he is mid-card title material, right? So you have that happen, and then, you know, you can divvy it up whichever way you want to lead to him having either a US title or an intercontinental title match against whoever. Preferably a US title, preferably, you know, preferably whoever is the champion and it's not Gunther. Mm-hmm. Right? You have him have this, you have whatever needs to happen to make him a champion. But you further that story of Drew and CM Punk.
Yeah. Because it gives CM Punk a little bit more time.
Because the thing is, Drew well,
have that match as well.
Even when you think about it as well, from what I understand, CM Punk has never had a WrestleMania moment.
No.
Right. Because of his injury, he will yet again not have a WrestleMania moment. However, screwing Drew after having to count the pin is a fairly good trade-off to not having a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
Because it's like he gets the last laugh and he's injured. And it's like, no, you've only got yourself to blame. All your big talk, all the stuff you said to Seth, don't get involved with them. Don't get involved. Look what happened to you. You weren't involved and you still got screwed over.
They think the merch sales, they can easily do CM Punk version of that Drew McIntyre thing at the grave. Like Drew McIntyre's WrestleMania.
And Drew McIntyre championship, it would be, what is it, the 7th? 7th of April.
So the 7th of April.
he's got a t-shirt right now that says Savior of WrestleMania. You can have his thing say fastest WrestleMania champ in history.
Yeah.
Or shortest WrestleMania champ in history.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, Ryan's cooking. I like that.
Mm.
And then none of it happens. And
anyway, that's how we would book it. And, we're collectively between the four of us, I think we're smarter than Triple H. Anyway, what I would say is, I just want to mention again, Monday night on Raw, the transition they had from Sami Zayn going from the ring to the back and then hitting R-Truth, that was great. I love what they're doing now in terms of changing the way that they're producing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people put it down to Kevin Dunn leaving and him being stuck in his ways in terms of that. But I love what the changes they're making at the moment. They are trying to do more with the product. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
It was really good.
The camera changes have been amazing. Like, they're not doing the smash cuts anymore. They're doing somebody goes to do a sunset flip off of a turnbuckle. The camera's there watching them go forward off it from those angles. It's like, it looks modern, which is a change. Yeah.
So, no, big shout out to WWE for their production at the moment. It's top form. What I will say, just one more thing before we wrap up, is Mercedes Moné made her debut in AEW, so that kind of put the end to Neil's wish at WrestleMania. What do we think about her showing up there?
What do I feel about what?
$10 million a year, I'd show up. $10 million a year, reportedly.
That's the rumor.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You're not going to say no, are you?
It's going to sound crazy when I say it, but what I can firmly believe is, I don't know how long her contract is.
3 years, apparently.
All right, so...
30 million, fucking hell.
million. Okay, yeah.
She's not bothered about the wrestling. She's there. I mean, that's not. That's not a dig in any way. She's. I think if she was bothered about the wrestling, she'd probably have gone to WWE. And it's not a dig against AEW, but she's going to get buried there. She's going to be gone in 6 months because they'll bring somebody else new in. But she's gone for $30 million, and I wouldn't blame her. I'd go for $30 million as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. Thinking is. It actually does. It serves her perfectly. $30 million for 3 years. 3 years for WWE's roster to get even more improved. 3 years for Triple H to get even more, to get even greater at what he is currently doing. 3 years for Jade Cargill to become that level.
Next level, and yeah.
Tiffany Stratton to become that level, yeah. And you know. You've got some of the ladies who are on NXT right now to get up to that level.
Great talent, yeah.
And as long as Bayley and Becky and Charlotte can all stay fit, mm-hmm. And then, you know, 3 years from now, Royal Rumble, 30th entrant. You just hear that music kick in. She's in.
That'd be something.
Yeah, she wins. There you go.
Yeah, it writes itself. Right, thank you very much for joining us tonight, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. I love talking wrestling. This is great. So thank you. It's so much fun. And guys, thank you very much for listening. Ladies and gents out there listening to this podcast, we really appreciate it. As always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe. You can check us out on YouTube or Spotify for a video version of this podcast, and the audio version is available on any major podcast platform. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we finish off? Nope, we good. Right, we'll be back next week with our next episode, Fantasy Booking WrestleMania 40 Night 2. So until then, it's out.
Peace.
Take care.